I'm grateful for the opportunity that we have to be together again. And trust that the Lord will guide us as we look into His Word. I can't help but think about an old joke that I tell to myself sometimes to help me remember that there's only so much time in a morning and only so much our... only so much sitting we can endure. I try always to, as best I can, follow the leadership of the Spirit, but the short version of the joke that comes to mind, since there are so few of us, is about the preacher who went, pastor went to his old country church, and the only person showed up was one old farmer from the congregation. And after some brief conversation, they decided that they would go ahead and have services. And the pastor, after doing some brief song service, got up into the pulpit and began to preach. And an hour and a half later, he sat down, and they had some fellowship afterwards. And I sat down on the front step before going back home. And the pastor said, "Well, brother, what'd you think?" And the old farmer said, "Well, pastor, I've learned in my years of farming that it's important to feed the cattle. But if only one comes to the food trough, you don't give him the whole truck full." So I trust that the Lord will guide us and that His Spirit will bless us as we look into His Word. But this morning, I have on my mind the cause. There were a couple of scriptures that came to mind. One involving David and Goliath, and another involving the Lord Jesus Christ, where they both mentioned the cause. And as we know from Scripture, David in many ways is a type of Jesus Christ. There is much about his life that reflects the truth of Jesus Christ as King over His people. And so it is perhaps no surprise that the same God and the same Spirit who would inspire David in much of his writings and in his leadership as king over Israel would speak words similar and reflective of the same types of things that David would say. We know King David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and in many of those Psalms, there is much inspiration from the Spirit looking forward to the time of the coming of the Messiah, when the right hand of God Almighty would come into the world and bring salvation to His people through suffering, but in triumph, bring salvation and restoration and redemption to all of God's precious children. There was a time in King David's life when he was first anointed during the reign of King Saul, when the Lord blessed him with strength and with understanding to begin to stand forward and acting according to the leadership of the Spirit, because as Scripture describes King David, he was a man after God's own heart, begin to take up the deeds and the acts which God directed him to do. David, though he was a flawed man, a man still suffering with the depraved nature of sin, was a man whose desire was to serve God, to follow Him, and to keep His commandments. In the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, we have a familiar historical event recorded for us. It was the time when King David faced the giant Goliath, the Philistine, who had come to defy the armies of the living God. So as we read this this event, we can start in verse 12 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. "Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, there we've jumped into the middle of this story to pick up where David is. King Saul and his son Jonathan had attacked and had prevailed over some Philistines. And the Philistines, in anger and with wrath, gathered themselves together, thousands strong, and presented themselves in battle array against the nation of Israel. So Saul sent out a message to all the nation, calling men of able capacity to come and take up their swords and to battle against the Philistines. In the midst of that, there was a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath. He was a very, very large man, around 9 feet tall, very powerful, very fierce warrior, raised up to war from his youth. And he presented himself as the champion of the Philistines and blasphemed and mocked and terrorized the nation of Israel. And he mocked and terrorized the nation of Israel and blasphemed God, declaring that their God, the God of the Philistines, was greater, and that they would prevail. And he challenged the nation of Israel, send out a champion to face me, and if I defeat him, then we will serve you. And if I defeat him, then you will serve us. And if he defeats me, then we will serve you. And the entire army of the nation of Israel was frightened by Goliath. He had a reputation, and besides that, he was really big, bigger than any of them. The three eldest, and so now we jump in at verse 12. The three eldest sons of Jesse from Bethlehem, Judah, went to follow Saul. David was sent to tend the sheep. So in verse 16, when it says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days," that's referring to Goliath. Verse 17 now, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the band of the keeper of the carriage, in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And there's that question. Of all the things that we might consider to be the cause, I tend to find that the context here, as David is brought before Saul, and as he speaks to Saul and describes his situation, which we will discuss here in a moment, the cause is right, and the cause is just, and the cause, I think, is at least defined or explained in David's remarks to Saul and to those around him. It was offensive to David that one man, even this man Goliath, would stand before the army of Israel and defy God and defy his people, that he would mock them, that he would terrorize them with words, and that he would blaspheme the one true and living God. As we look at what David has to say here, I find that in this case, in this history, to be the cause. It was energizing and motivating to David to see that the truth of God, that he is the one true and living God, that he is all-powerful, that he watches over his people every day, that he is the source of light and light, that he is protection and deliverance for all of his children in every case, that that cause, that truth, that there is one true and living God, that he is Jehovah, and that he cares for his people every day in all places. That cause was inspiring and motivating to David, and it encouraged him. Listen to what he says. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" His eldest brother accuses him of pridefully coming to seek out the battle, to seek out war. It's perhaps the case that David expressed some regrets or some desire to go to battle, to fight for God in his army against the Philistines. But being a young man and Jesse needing someone to tend to the sheep, he was told to stay in the field tending to the sheep. So perhaps David expressed some desire to go to war. Now as he's there, having been sent by his father Jesse to see how his brothers were and to carry food to the company to which they had been assigned, Eliab says, "I know your pride. You desire to be here at the battle. Your only reason here is because you want glory. You wanted to see the battle and you wanted to fight in it." David says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Even if that were the case, isn't there a reason for us to stand firm and to defend the nation of Israel, to defend God's people against this blasphemous and evil and wicked nation and against this uncircumcised Philistine?" See where David's mind is? See where he's coming from? "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' And David said unto Saul," listen to this, where these words are familiar, but listen again, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Do you see where David is coming from? He has personal experience with God's deliverance. He has knowledge of how God had delivered him and provided for him in danger and in strife. His job was to care for the sheep. And part of that responsibility was to see that no animal could come in amongst the flock and kill them and take them away. Sheep were part of the wealth of a family. And to have an unfaithful shepherd or someone who was not willing to defend the flock meant that your wealth and your food, because they would eat and use the wool and so forth, they would disappear. David had that responsibility as a youth. And he told Saul and all those that were listening, said, "God has delivered me as I have performed this work. It is my responsibility to care for the flock, to care for the sheep. And while I did that, while I filled that role and filled that responsibility, God blessed me and protected me. And he will do the same here. I trust that God will see me through this. And this Philistine who has defied the armies of the living God, he will also be the same as the lion and the bear. God will deliver me. What is the cause? The cause is the truth that there is one true and living God, that He is for His people. He is fighting on their behalf, and that in trouble and in trial, He will protect and will deliver. We cannot know what shape or form that protection or deliverance may be, but we know and we trust that God cares for us. David was expressing to Saul and to those there, I have had this experience with God. He has protected me and He has delivered me, and I trust that He will do so again. It is the same hundreds of years later when the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now those were their Babylonian names, but those three Hebrews were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar because they had defied Nebuchadnezzar's command to fall down and worship the golden idol. And they said unto him, O king, we are not afraid to answer thee. God will deliver us from the fiery furnace. And if He doesn't, He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Right? David is saying, God will deliver. God does provide. There is one true and living God who is powerful and who is mighty and who cares for His people and cares for His children. And He will see me through against this Philistine. Send me. Let me go, because I know that God will provide for me and that God will deliver me. And the rest of this story we're familiar with, because David, as he went out to face Goliath, he picked up some stones, and with one stone, he slung that stone and it embedded itself in Goliath's forehead, and Goliath fell down dead. Now I imagine that a shepherd was very handy, very skillful with a sling. That was one way that he defended the flock. I also believe that God, because of His faithfulness and because of His covenant, because the one true and living God had, before the foundation of the world, selected for Himself out of people and purposed that from the line of David would come His only begotten Son, the Messiah, who would be sent into the world and bring salvation to His people. Because of that promise and that covenant and because of the faithfulness of God, David was preserved and protected, and God directed that stone into the forehead of that giant and he fell down dead. God protected him just as God had protected David from the lion and from the bear. Is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Is there not a reason? Is there not a justification for standing in defense of God's people and for declaring the truth of the one true and living God, Jehovah, the Almighty One, who protects and delivers and has chosen out His precious and peculiar people? David gained renown and fame from delivering the nation of Israel from Goliath. And it was not very long after that that David was put in charge of, put in command of some of the army of the nation of Israel, and he gained more renown to the point that Saul became jealous because he heard that the nation of Israel began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. The man after God's own heart was also mighty in war, and if we read from the Psalms, we'll find that David recognized that it was God who taught his hands to fight. He knew from whence his strength and his deliverance came. Now let us turn for a few moments to the book of John. John chapter 18. John 18. This history is also familiar to us. John 18, verse 28. After capturing the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden and bringing Him before Caiaphas, and trying him there, determining that he is a blasphemer and worthy of death. Verse 28 of John chapter 18 says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. They bring Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate asks a fair and valid question when a criminal is brought before his court. He asks, What crime has he committed? And the response from the Jewish leadership is, Well, if he weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him. Which doesn't answer the question at all. Because you see, as we read the other Gospels and as we look at the trial, so-called, that they put Jesus through, they couldn't find anybody who could tell the same story that would be chargeable with death until they found certain men who said he had said he would tear down the temple and raise it up again in 3 days. Some such story as that. In other Gospels, we have recorded for us that they would say he has set himself up to be a king. And we have only one king, and that is Caesar. True enough. For they were seeking the favor of men and were submitting themselves to a mortal king. What crime, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. He's a criminal, that's why we brought him. And they wouldn't take him and judge him, because for whatever crime it was, Pilate didn't know at this point, or at least in John's record, it hadn't been told to Pilate. For whatever crime he had committed, the Jews sought his death. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Are you the king? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered him, I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? So he's still asking the same question. What did you do? Why have you been brought before this court, before me in judgment? So art thou the king of the Jews, he would ask. In another place, I believe it says that Pilate's wife would come to him and tell him to have nothing to do with Jesus because that very night she had had dreams about him. Art thou the king of the Jews? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered and said this, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. For this cause came I into the world. So David would ask when he is seeing Goliath facing off against the nation of Israel, challenging them and blaspheming against God, is there not a cause? What is the cause? David would say, God has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine, because it is not proper and it is not right and it is offensive to me to have anyone defy the one true and living God, to declare that he is not, or to declare that he has nothing before these false gods of the Philistines, to declare that there is not a Jehovah. David says there is a cause. There's a cause to defend the truth, to stand for what is right, and to defend the name of God, even though God is perfectly capable of defending himself, you see. Nevertheless, it is right and proper for God's people to stand for what is true and to stand for what is right. David says, is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason to stand up against this Philistine? Even if it were to the very last man, to stand up against him and to defend the truth that there is one true and living God, that he is Jehovah, and that he has power and ability to defend and to protect his people, to fulfill his purposes, and to bring about salvation and deliverance. Jesus here, as he's responding to Pilate, says, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. What cause? What truth? The same one with this as well. There is one true and living God, that his name is Jehovah, and that Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son, the express image of his person and the brightness of his glory, and that he himself has come in the form of Jesus, in the form of a man, taking upon himself the likeness of sin, yet in himself having no sin, to teach the truth of Jehovah, to teach the truth of God, that he has brought salvation to his people, and that that salvation is Jesus Christ. This is the truth. To bear witness to the truth did Jesus come. To declare at this time, at this hour, at this moment in history, that God is bringing salvation to his people, and that he has sent his own right arm, his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to bring that salvation and that deliverance. This is the truth to which Jesus bore witness. This is the truth to which we hold dear. This is the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world to teach and to proclaim. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is the Apostle John writing these words, and he would record for us the words of Jesus earlier in his life and earlier in his ministry, when he would say, that all that Father hath given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day, and that those that the Father gave to me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast them out, that there is not one thing that shall be left out, not one sin unwashed, not one sinner not redeemed. Everyone shall be saved. Everyone is redeemed. All of God's precious children, those whom he chose before the foundation of the world, who were born not according to the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. Every single one, and all of that sin is washed clean and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Redeemed and made whole through Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness of this truth, that there is one true and living God, that his name is Jehovah, and that he is his Son, bringing redemption and salvation to all of God's people. This is the truth that he proclaimed throughout all his life. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? That which is reliable, trustworthy, and consistent with God's character and revelation. That's what's true. Pilate would say, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate is merely saying, merely asking the question, seeking to know the facts. Twice already he's asked, what crime has been committed here? First he asked the Jews. He said, why did you bring him here? What crime has he committed? And then he asked Jesus. Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? It was a question seeking information. What is the truth? What have you done? I just want to know the facts. And when he had said this, he went back out to the Jews and he said, there's no fault in this man. And we're familiar with the rest of this story. But it impressed me to recall that David, when he faced Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? The cause of truth. That there is a God. That his name is Jehovah. That he is almighty and all-powerful. Faithful in protecting and delivering his children. A promise that he made before the foundation of the world to bring salvation and to choose out and select for himself a people who will be part of his family, be his children, and unto them he would be their God. That God, that truth, was motivating for David. So this uncircumcised Philistine, he is nothing before the Almighty God, Jehovah. And the cause of truth should move us, David says to his brothers and to those around in the nation of Israel and the army there, the cause of truth should move us to stand in defiance of the of Goliath and of that whole nation of Philistia. Jesus here, when he's facing trial, he says to Pilate, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, that I am a king, that my kingdom is not of this world, but it is from hence, that is from above, and that I am the Son of God." He declared it enough that the Jews sought more than once to take up stones to kill him. So you can't tell me that he kept it hidden, or that he clouded it over, or made it vague. How else are you supposed to interpret, "I and my Father are one"? It was blasphemy for him to declare such a thing. And that, and their own pride, and their own greed, moved the nation, the rulers of Israel, to seek to take his life. Because they said, "Oh, the whole world will go after him. He came to bear witness to the truth of God, the truth that he is the Son of God, and that he is bringing salvation and deliverance to every single one of his people. For this cause came he into the world." There is a cause, the cause of truth. There's a t-shirt that we picked up from Goodwill or from someplace, I can't remember. And it says this: "If there is no God, nothing matters. If there is a God, nothing else matters." The cause of truth, you see, is worth standing up for. David bears witness to the experience that he had. We also can bear witness to our own experience that God has delivered us. The cause of truth is worthy of defending. I've also heard it said that truth stands for itself. That's an accurate statement. If we're talking about truth, if we're talking about something that is reliable and trustworthy and consistent with God's character and what he has revealed, then it is what it is. There's nothing that can be argued against it. Effectively, you can lie. You can twist, and you can shadow the truth. And this has been done since the beginning of the world. Because Satan said to Eve, "Did God say thou shalt surely die?" Because Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Nevertheless, it is important and it is right and it is proper for us to stand for the cause of truth, to defend what is right, to defend what is true, what is consistent with God's character and what he has revealed unto his people, what is trustworthy and what is reliable. And as Paul would say to the church at Philippi, those things that are good and true and right and virtuous and worthy of praise, those things, think on those things. And we cannot help, when we consider those things, to think about God and about Jesus Christ, because he is true, he is virtuous, he is worthy of praise, he is trustworthy, he is honest, all of those things, and so much more that we can't even begin to comprehend. The cause. What is the cause? Truth. That God is true, that Jesus Christ is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In him is light, and there is not a shadow of darkness nor a shadow of turning. For this cause, Jesus says, came I into the world, to bear witness unto the truth, to testify of God the Father and of me, his Son. There is a cause. It is the cause of truth. It moved David to stand up against a giant. And it moved Jesus, though he were the Son of God, yet having upon himself a likeness of sinful flesh, but in him there being no sin, to go to the cross and to face a shameful death that his people might live. The cause of truth is a powerful thing, brethren. And it is good for us to also stand in defense of the truth. May God bless us and grant us grace to stand for what is right and for what is true, to help others and guide them with the light that we have been given, to share with them what we know, and to be ready to answer for the joy that is in our hearts every day. Should someone ask, what is true? Let us tell them what is true, that there is a God, that his Son Jesus has come into the world and brought salvation to all his people. This is true. There is a God, and nothing else matters. May God bless you all.